But now joining us, 42 years in the business, announcing his retirement today, Hockey Hall of Famer, it is Jim Houston. Thanks for this, Jim. How are you?
Good. I'm exhausted. never so popular as the day you stop working.
So what has today been like then for you?
Kind of humbling, actually. All day long since 9 o'clock this morning. Just lots of calls from lots of friends and colleagues, and just people checking in to say hi and what are you up to and why and congratulations. And that's so very cool. It's, as I say, it's been a very humbling day.
Well, and Jim, I mean, you know, all the three of us have been talking about how, you know, we've been hearing you, watching you for years, and you've been synonymous with Canucks coverage for the years and also Hockey Night in Canada, not to mention the Blue Jays and everything else in the past as well. And, you know, I was surprised today because every time I hear you and see you, like, you're just so on the ball. You're so good. You're still at that high level. So what kind of made you decide that this was the right time to kind of step aside?
A confluence of a few things. You know, from the day I started in the industry, there's two things that I wanted to accomplish. I've never really been a goal-oriented person, but I was just happy to be in the business for a long time. But I wanted to work at the highest level in the business, and just like the players, I wanted to work on the last day of the season. And that's what you want to do when you're in this business, and I get to do that a lot. So that I felt like I'd accomplished that. Then COVID came along, and it's made great changes in the travel and the way we do things. And I believe that it's going to make great changes within our industry. And then I have this really good friend at Hockey Night, Jason Murdoch, who's a stats man that works with us. And he was kind enough to go through the NHL and dig out the game sheet from the first game that I ever broadcast. And it was on CKNW in Vancouver. It was a Vancouver Canuck Montreal Canadian game in December of 1979 at the Forum in Montreal. And I looked at the game sheet when he brought it to me, and it was handwritten. And it led me to think about the time that I've been doing it. And I thought, geez, that's 42 years ago. And I've been broadcasting games in six different decades. Uncle, that's enough. It's time. So you always think in any business that you're in, you always hope that when it does come to an end, you'll know it. First of all, you'll know it and accept it. And then secondly, it's on your terms. So a confluence of things came together, and it wasn't something that I just thought about last night and decided today. It's been coming for a little while because of just some of the changes in our world and the changes in our business. And so I thought, you know what, I'm fortunate enough to be able to do it, so I'm just going to step aside now.
Well, it's been a pleasure to watch you do your thing because, you know, here growing up in this city, whether it was on radio, whether it was on television and the Sportsnet Pacific days back in the day or on the national scale, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to watch you do this. And, you know, how has the ride been, right? Because it's every broadcaster, especially young broadcasters, dream to be the voice for Hockey Night in Canada. You've done that for a number of years. How has the ride been? Now, I know it's, you know, quick to look back at it now, but what are you feeling today?
Oh, it's humbling, first of all, to be able to get that job. It's a lot of hard work. It's gratifying. But you know what? First of all, when you get into a business like this one and my part of it, you have to have some passion for and love the game. And I've always done that. And, you know, probably like every other kid in Canada, there was a time that I wanted to play it all my life. I actually still do play, but not quite at the same level as the NHL guys. However, I realized really early that it was not going to be a career in the game for me and as a player. So I found another way. And the ride has been fantastic. It's taken me through places like Penticton and Kelowna and Brandon, Manitoba, and out to Vancouver, and it's taken me to the East. It's taken me all over North America. It's taken me around the world to Sochi for the Olympics and Turin for the Olympics. The ride has been absolutely fabulous. So one of the unfortunate things about the ride is that it's a lot of riding. The games themselves have never been a problem. I've always been excited and ready to broadcast the games and always felt really good about them. Can't say the same about the travel. After a while, you know, it seems like a really glamorous job, and everybody would love to try it for a little while. But I can tell you that, you know, leaving home at the 1st of April and not getting back until the 15th of June every year wears on you a little bit. You get tired of living out of a suitcase. You want to just bring everything home and burn it. And you miss a lot of stuff in a lot of people's lives. So that part of it, and that's another reason. It's a good time to say, had a really good run. It's been a beauty, and time to go.
Do you remember that first game in Montreal?
It's funny you should mention it, because I thought I did when Jason asked me, and he was going to go to the NHL and get into their archives and find it. I told him what I thought the score was and what I thought the date was, and he went and found that, and there was a Vancouver-Montreal game on that particular night, and I had the score right, but I had the wrong date, and I can tell you who corrected me on it. I sent a note to Jim Robson and said, you know that this is when I did my first game, and da, 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 da. And he was like in a millisecond was back to me, and he said, no, because people, the backstory is that my first game was a Saturday night when Jim Robson moved over to Hockey Night and did the television game. So in my first year of broadcasting NHL games, I would fill in for Jim on radio. And he quickly sent a note back saying, no, that wasn't your first game. And then he gave me the correct date, because he keeps immaculate records of all of that stuff, which I don't. And then Jason went back and found it. I believe the score was the same one, but it was a Montreal-Vancouver game. It was 5-2 Montreal, I believe. I don't have that in front of me, but I always remember it as a 5-2 game. But it was easy to know that Montreal won, because Vancouver lost to Montreal every time they played in those years. Those were the days of the great powerhouse Montreal Canadiens. So, but I remember, what I remember most about it is red. Montreal Forum had the brightest, most beautiful color of red you could ever see. And I got a chance on that night to meet Danny Gallivan, and I got a chance to work in that broadcast booth. And it was probably a night like that where a light came on and said, geez, why wouldn't you want to do this on a full-time basis? And that it was kind of that night that I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And took me a while to get established, but it worked out.
Well, it certainly did work out. And you mentioned Jim Robson, and in your careers, in some ways, really mirrored each other. And he also retired at the same age as you. Exactly. Both are 64. Like, did that cross your mind at all, talking to Jim and just kind of looking at it, that, you know, exact same moment that you guys are kind of, you know, moving on to the next chapter in life?
I knew it was roughly about the same age. And, you know, what was going on in our lives is probably different. One of the things I really appreciate about Jim, though, is not only has he been a mentor, not in the sense of a teacher, but the kind of teacher who just, he opened the doors to allow me to watch him work and learn a lot about the preparation and the things he had to do, because I was raw as can be at the National Hockey League level and quite frankly didn't have a clue. And so he was very generous with that. And then we've remained really good friends through the years. In fact, he knew this was coming, but I didn't realize we were exactly the same age. I knew it was roughly about the same, but, you know, I think that Jim did exactly what I have done, and I know Danny Gallivan did too, out on my terms, and knew that it was the right thing to do at the time.
And Jim, a special thank you to as well, because I know in my experience as well, when I've had a chance to chat with you or meet you as well, you've been very nice and forthcoming to young broadcasters and sharing your opinion and just having a chance to chat, whether it's here in Vancouver or a couple of years ago on the road in LA. So, you know, I think that's, just a special thank you on that front as well, because you've helped usher in new broadcasters to the industry as well.
You know what? People were so good to me as I traveled around the league for the first time and hadn't got a clue, didn't know which way to turn when I went down a hallway, didn't know where the press room was, didn't know where the press box was. If there was an elevator, I couldn't find it. And I was just afforded so many great opportunities and friendship by people like Danny Gallivan and people like Jigs McDonald. And I could, you know, list a whole bunch of other great broadcasters. Dan Kelly comes to mind. So you pass it on, right? That's the best thing you can do. And when you think about it, why would you ever be miserable? Why would you ever not be friendly when what you're doing is hanging around at a hockey rink for a living? Somebody's paying you to go to a hockey rink, eat in a press room, go out on the road, travel and watch hockey games for a living. So I always found that there was never anything to be miserable about, and always enjoy and still do running into people and talking to people about the game. And quite often people come up to me and want to talk about the game, and they're kind of worried. They say, geez, aren't you tired of this? Or are you okay talking about them? No, I'm not tired of it. I'm not. This is what I do. This is how I made my living. And if you take an interest in what I do and you want to talk about it, then I'm happy to stand around and jaw with you for a while. So you can call it giving back. You can call it just being me, whatever. But it's always been a part of what I do.
Jim Houston, our guest. I know you've probably been asked this a ton today, but most memorable moment?
Oh, I don't know if there are. I don't know if I can come up with a single one, you know? There's too many good ones. Too many good times, first games, all that sort of stuff. So I just sort of lump them all together and think that, you know, there have been some great Stanley Cup playoffs. I've seen some fantastic Stanley Cup final games. Think about 2013 Boston-Chicago. That was a strike-shortened year, or a lockout-shortened year. And so everybody was fresh, and the final was so good. Some of the games in that final were absolutely spectacular. I would say, though, the one thing I can pick out from all of the things that I've done is the best team that I've ever watched play the game. And that was Team Canada at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Never seen a machine quite like that. Never seen a team play the game with such precision. There was never a moment through that fortnight where I thought that they were not going to win the gold medal. And they were in a couple of close games, but even in the post games, I just thought, this team is way too good. They will never, ever lose this game. And they didn't. It was such a pleasure to watch them play the game and watch them be so proficient. So That would be a highlight, even though it was kind of a weird time in our world at the Sochi Games. But the hockey was absolutely fantastic.
Jim, we have so many texts from listeners expressing gratitude and asking you to come back for one more year and asking if you do at least some games here and there. And Eric in Dawson Creek says, thanks for all the great memories and the calls we will cherish for the rest of our lives as hockey and Canucks fans. So a lot of fans, they're kind of surprised, or, you know, they have a lot of kind things to say about what your time here has been like. What is it like when you kind of hear that from fans and listeners? Because, you know, like we were mentioning, a lot of us kind of grew up, right, watching the game, hearing you. So hockey and the Canucks, for a lot of us growing up, was kind of synonymous with you as well. So what is it like when you kind of hear people talk about you in this way and the memories that they have?
Humbling and flattering, and I'm so appreciative. That's why when guys from Dawson Creek come up to me and want to talk about hockey, I'm happy to engage them, because I've never, ever lost sight of the fact that I know there's somebody on the other side of the TV. And it was always my pleasure, and I felt my debt to them, that if I'm going to invest, if they're going to invest 3 hours to sit and watch a hockey game or listen to it on the radio, then I better be at my best, or try to be at my best, so that I can tell them the story of the game, hopefully entertain them, maybe engage them, and hopefully make them feel like they're part of it too. So to hear that kind of feedback is wonderful to me, and I appreciate it. And for our friend in Dawson Creek, hope he is enjoying the Dawson Creek Canucks and Fort St. John Flyers rivalry as much as I did when I was a kid, because that's where the hockey hook was set for me, in the northern part of British Columbia. So, yeah, in answer to your question, it's quite gratifying. It's very, very humbling, and I wish I could speak to every one of you individually, but we'll probably have to do that over time.
I love talking with other broadcasters and asking, you know, what the difference is between calling different sports, having called different ones myself at a much lower level. But it is interesting to me the difference between calling hockey and calling Blue Jays games or calling baseball games, Jim, because very obviously couldn't have two different, more contrasting sports to call a game for.
No, you're right. And it's like hockey is so frenetic, and even more so now. The games are faster. There's no storytelling time. It's funny. Producers and executive producers are always coming to us and have been over the past few years and say, tell stories. We need to be storytellers. I'm saying, okay, you tell me when in this 2 hour and 20 minute game that's going on 100 miles an hour, I'm going to tell a story. I'm trying to tell the story of the game and trying to share with the audience what we think are the reasons why it's going one way or another, or what's going on in the matchup game and what's going on in different parts of the game. And you want me to sit down by the fire and tell a story about some guys growing up and all of that sort of stuff. And when that happens, the puck is usually in the net. And so the great difference is that in baseball, you have all that time to do that. And you have to be armed with all those stories, and you have to spend so much time down on the field and batting practice, talking to people and asking them questions so that you can weave those stories throughout the broadcast. I've always said that baseball is the only sport that I would go to as a fan, where I would take a newspaper with me and I could devour both the ball game and the newspaper over the course of 4 hours. It just lends itself to that, where hockey doesn't. You got to keep your eyes on it. You got to really be on top of what's going on. And so I love both of them for different reasons, and there's different preparation for both of them. But the commonality between the two is you got to watch a lot. You got to spend a lot of time, invest an awful lot of time in watching games over and over and over and over again, so that you understand what's unfolding in front of you. And when you do that, it's just like for the players. I talked to many of them about it. When you do that and you get to the point where you really understand what you're watching, the game slows right down. And then it's much easier to stay on top of it. It's much easier to see why things are going in a different direction. So in that sense, the two games are not unlike. They're just when the way they're presented and the way they unfold is a little different in the pace, but it's all about preparation and understanding what you're watching. And I would say that's probably the same in all the other sports, many of which I haven't had any time to do.
Jim, we really appreciate your time. Know it's been a very busy day. Congratulations on an incredible career. Many of our listeners are thanking you and congratulating you as well. So we really appreciate it today, and hopefully we'll see you around soon.
Well, I thank you for the sentiment from all of your listeners. That's fantastic. And thanks for taking the time to call me and think about me, and appreciated the time with you. All the best.